prayer led by Pastor Coy Griffin, and our pledge will be led by Tim Tyrell. So if you will all please stand.
All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to meet this evening, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for our country, Lord God, and for the foundation, Father, that our country was built upon, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the work that Aubrey's been doing, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that that he's our representative, Lord God, as we pray, Father, that you give him wisdom and guidance, Lord, as he represents the people, Father. And, Lord, we just pray, God, that you be with us through this meeting. May a lot of good things come out of it, Lord God. May it be very informative, Lord. And, Father, may it bring unity, Lord God, to each and every one of us, Father. May we grow stronger through it, Father, through knowledge, Lord God, and through the unity that we find in you. As we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Play ball.
Play ball. Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, thank you all so much for coming tonight. In this hot, we're going to have to start having these meetings up in the mountains in Cloudcroft or something where it's a little bit cooler. Hey, we're going to have it at George and Connie's house. How's that? All right. we thank God our elections are over. Because, boy, I was sure tired of all of this. So I was kind of hoping that we had some of those people here tonight.
They used us and ran.
So
Beth's going to do the same thing after.
They just used us. They got our votes. And I know that John Sugg was on his way down. I heard he told me because he told me he was. Lori Bees is in New York, and she was going to call in to thank everybody. Dan Bryant said he was going to show. I don't see him. So they abused us, and ran off. So, I was going to give them a chance to talk, but they're done. So, their time has passed. Let's see. So, Susan Payne, our city commissioner, is here. So, thanks for coming, Susan. I don't see any others elected. Who? Oh, you. Yvette. Okay, Yvette's
here. Who elected her?
Yeah. Stand up, Yvette. Take a bow.
Right.
And,
the anti-marriage one up there.
Who am I missing? Who am I?
Well,
Chris.
I'm the one who lost it.
Congratulations, Dave. Stood up and tried.
Thank you, Chris. And well, thank you for coming tonight, showing up. And we appreciate it. And we hope to continue to see your smiling face. Thank you. Well, I tell you what, though, in light of a lot of things that have happened and that terrible bombing in Orlando, it just seems like it doesn't really matter. And shootings, bombings, it's just getting to be every time you turn the news on, open the internet, the articles, Facebook, Twitter, it's somebody's being held hostage, some violence of some sort by some terrorist. It's ridiculous anymore, and our rights are being trampled by politicians who continue to tell us that it's those damn guns that are doing it and not the bad people. I think Paul posted something on Facebook the other day that was said something about I don't remember what.
Which one?
I don't remember. Something you said.
I never post anything, so you got to narrow it down.
Yeah. And I replied by saying, it was the article in the newspaper, and the city commissioner had said in the article that we need more stricter gun laws to prevent this from happening. Well, we constantly hear this from the left. Well, I had said, let's remember Oklahoma. Are we going to ban fertilizer? Because that's what happened, right?
We can't. Democrats spread it way too well.
Well, this particular commissioner sent me a little message.
How you
said, how dare you? I mean, how dare you say that? I thought we were friends. I have always defended you when people talked bad about you. I've always protected you. I've always... Well... Not yet. I mean, oh.
There's many Nadias
exactly.
in town.
I mean, you know, it's not the damn guns, it's the damn people. And when are we going to start making people accountable for their actions, right?
Amen.
So, I guess I always told my kids that when you do something wrong, you're going to get punished for it. So you're going to have to learn to live with that. So I guess it's time.
There was a stabbing today at, I don't even know where, in Canada. So we're going to now need to ban knives also.
In England, there was a Ministry of Parliament who was shot.
In England, that happened, but in Canada, there was a mass stabbing today.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to work on banning knives now.
Well, we've tougher DWI laws haven't stopped drunks. I mean, the cars, the knives, the scissors, the pen, right?
If you can control fertilizer, you got to get rid of the Democratic Party.
That was my point.
All right.
It hadn't been covered in the paper here, but Monday, Hillary Clinton made a really, really put mouth. She said that anybody that's under investigation from the FBI should not be allowed to own a gun. Well, it seems to me
she probably doesn't own a gun, though, because she has people that surround her, that protect her, that have guns. So, all right.
It's too easy.
Yeah, I know it. All right. Well, there's probably a ton of things that we could probably talk about, and there's somebody here that's a whole lot more interesting than me.
Amen.
Better looking, taller,
well,
much more interesting. And he had to remind me that his brand new granddaughter that he has not seen, who was born in January, saw her for the first time yesterday.
Oh.
Today.
Oh.
Saw her for the first time today.
Nice.
But he came here to see us.
Anyway. Why? Play with a kid. Much more interesting than us.
I know, but he like ground it, you know, cut me and then he grounded in me, right? I thank you.
Yeah.
I owe him. But he's gonna take the rest of the week off and stay at the ranch, aren't you?
I am.
Good. I know what it means.
One day.
I know what it is like to have the grandkids. I do, and I can't thank you enough for being here. I really appreciate it. So I'm gonna turn the rest of this meeting over to our wonderful land commissioner, who we are so indebted to. Thank God we have a Republican land commissioner. Our great land commissioner, Aubrey Dunn.
Thanks, Rocky, and thanks everybody for coming tonight. And number one, for voting for me. I've learned you have to be careful what you wish for, because it's sometimes a little tougher than what you believe. But thanks for coming. I wonder if we could get the lights turned down. Can you see back there, or you need to move up? Because we'll wait a second if you want to move up. Everybody okay? Okay. Well, I appreciate the support I've had. 656 votes is not very many votes, so everyone I see I have to thank, because if one of them hadn't, that's two that I lost. So it's important, and I appreciate allowing to be your land commissioner. So I'm going to go through this, and because I've learned things, a lot of things in the last 18 months. I've got 2.5 years left on this first term. If we go for another one, we plan on going for another one right now. So anyway, I'm the land commissioner, and it's kind of odd. New Mexico, there's only four in the United States that are elected. A lot of states don't no longer have one, and then the rest are the governor has control of, and they nominate them. So how do you want to do the slide? Just wave, or? Okay, I'll just go like an auctioneer deal. Okay, let's go on. Next slide. Yeah, to take Rocky, so just an overview, there's 9 million surface acres in New Mexico. There's 13 million mineral acres. And the money goes to schools and other institutions. And each piece of land is designated to a specific beneficiary, whether it's the School for Vision Handicapped, Gary Tingley, universities. About 90% of it goes to common schools. So that's my job. I'm the trustee, and my job is to generate money for those institutions. And we actually produce about 30% of what goes into the education budget. It saves everybody about $800 in taxes, what we generate. And we do it by a lot of different ways of generating it. And I didn't realize it, but the land office concept and trust lands came from Thomas Jefferson. And what Thomas Jefferson did, he established the survey system we all have now, which is in a township you have 36 sections. Thomas Jefferson did that. And in that, every state that came into the Union got one section of land, and it was called a school section. And the reason he did it is he wanted to have an educated public so that we could have a strong democracy. And so really the land office, the reason for the land office goes to our freedoms if you go all the way back. So Thomas Jefferson is the one that came up with this, and that, you know, once we came around, let's go to the next slide. These are the beneficiaries. School for the Blind's on here, School for the Deaf. NIMI is one of the bigger ones. They ended up with a lot of really good land in southeast New Mexico. And common schools, penitentiaries are one of them. Lots of different things, Capitol buildings. Next slide, please. So how did we get those? Well, in 1850, even before we became a state, our territory, we got Section 16 and 36 for common schools in the Organic Act. And then when the Ferguson Act came by, that established the beneficiaries. And then we became a state, and the Enabling Act is where the power of the land commissioner came. And actually, there was a land commissioner appointed earlier than when we became a state. So there was a territorial governor, and there was a land commissioner early on. And when we became a state, they gave us two more sections, Section 2 and Section 32. So we had four sections. And then when we're going to look at the map next, but when we look at the map, we don't have those sections anymore because settlers got some of those sections. Tribes and pueblos got sections and land grants, and so they had to trade those out so that we got what we were entitled to. Next slide, please. So this is a map of the state, and the blue is or purple is state trust lands. And if you notice down here in Eddy and Lee County, there's a bunch of state trust lands. That's because when you look up there in the San Juan, that orange is Indian lands, the green is forest, and then the yellow in here is BLM lands. And if you notice Otero County, we've got White Sands Missile Range here. We've got all this BLM down on Otero Mesa. We've got the Sacramentos, the Mescaleros, and that's why when we talk about how little private land we have in the county, why it's so hard for us to generate, it makes us so dependent on Holland Air Force Base and military and government spending. But if you look at the state, these white areas are big land grants, and they're all through it. And so if there was a land grant, then they had to trade. And this is where NIMI ended up with so much. They thought they were just going to give NIMI some really poor cattle country down here, and it ended up being where all the oil and gas was. Next slide. So this was 2015. The land office made $739 million. We have two pots of money, but 96% of it came from oil and gas. And I've got a lot of press, good and mainly bad, but we put a small pump jack in front of the land office. There was a head that kind of looked like Obama. It was a brick head. It's fitting in some ways. But I had to pay personally to get it moved, and I bought a pump jack from Yates that we're running on solar, and it pumps in front of the land office every day. Nothing comes out, but we have hundreds of tourists take pictures of it because they haven't ever seen one up close. So one of the nicknames I have right now is Pump Jack Dunn, which should probably be in the next campaign. And somebody called me Slim Dunn. That was Jim Baca, which I kind of like that one, even though it doesn't apply. But so that's what we do. Commercial grazing and other things bring only 4% in. Next slide. And I'm a banker, and I apologize for bringing you numbers, but that's what I like to talk about. And so what we're going to make this year, and this is the column. She changed it around. Okay, here's 2016 actuals. So we're going to make about $500 million this year. And if you remember the slide before, we made $739 million last year. And in the year before that, we made $830 million. So the decrease in the price of oil has really hurt what's going into education. And so what the land office has is two pots of money. One is called the maintenance fund, and one's called the land grant permanent fund. And our money goes, and it's managed by the SIC, and I sit on that. And it's got $14 billion in that fund. But each of that money is tied to a different beneficiary, common schools, institute, all those. And this money here is what we take our, that's what we operate on. And so we, I think there's a slide that shows it, but we operate on about $15 million a year. We have 156 employees. We're supposed to. I don't run at that. I save a little money. And so this is where it comes from. This is oil and gas. When it says here oil and gas, that's bonus money. And so we have a sale at the land office every once a month. I think it's the third Tuesday. And so if you want to bid on some land that we put up for auction, it's for oil and gas development, you can come and bid. And so the premium you bid is what's called bonus money. And so when you drill it, we get royalty, but the bonus money goes into the maintenance fund. That's where we get our money. Right-of-ways, if you'll look, we're going to bring in $12 million in right-of-ways, and last year we brought in $7 million. And that's, I'll tell you how we did that when we go on. Let's try the next slide. You may come back to this one. I always get hit up, and maybe not as much in this group, but I was at cattle growers this week, and they're really concerned because we raise grazing fees. And this is, it's $5.99, and that's per animal unit month. And so it's caused a lot of concern. But what happened was, back when Bill Humphreys was land commissioner, he came up, there was a lawsuit that Jim Baca had filed as land commissioner against him. And in the settlement of the lawsuit, a formula was made up. And in that, it brought in what grazing fees are charged in other states and what calf prices are. And so there's a formula that's set, and I don't set it, I just follow what the formula is. So when, you know, we get in and prices go down on cattle and grazing goes down, then it'll come down. So, but I've been blamed for it. But I went ahead and I brought a bunch of these pamphlets that explain the grazing fees. If anybody wants to go through them, it has the formula in it. And but just to compare to other states, New Mexico this year is $5.99, Arizona is $3.45, Wyoming $6, Idaho's $8, Montana is $11.57, South Dakota is $19, and Colorado is $11 to $19. So we're not out of line on what we're charging, and that's per animal unit. So it takes in consideration whether it's real desert land or lush land. It's the number of cows you can run. Next slide. So this is a really interesting slide, and the vets heard me talk about this kind of stuff. So this is the amount of barrels produced in New Mexico per month. And so there's about, at the high, there was a little over 13 million barrels per month produced in New Mexico, and now it's down here. This right here, this yellow line, is the rig count. And when you talk about jobs in New Mexico, back here in 15, there are almost 100 rigs. And now, I think, I heard yesterday, there's 18 rigs in the state. So when you figure 200 jobs per rig, and that's people working directly to the rig, that doesn't include the hamburgers and the motels and shoes they buy and everything else. That's why you've seen such a hit in southeast New Mexico and what's going on. This purple line is the price of oil, and so that kind of shows you, I think the blue line is gas. But it's been a real hit on the land office and on the state. And Yvette doesn't know, but I think they're really going to have a special session come real quick because the state's run out of money. I don't think the governor appropriated, was realistic on their forecast. So next slide. Like I was talking about on the right-of-ways, this is just what we did business-wise. When I came into office, there were over 500 right-of-ways pending. And a right-of-way is bought by Otero County Electric or a gas company or phone line or for a road or a highway or a county road, or City of Alamogordo has a water line out to the well field and it goes across state land. They pay us a right-of-way fee. And there were 500 right-of-ways pending, applications pending, going all the way back to 2010 when I took over. And it was taking over 300 days to get a right-of-way. And one of the reasons you can tie back to the oil industry, why it's a big deal, because they couldn't get power to the pad after they drilled the well. It would cost them $30,000 a month to have a generator on site, waiting for the land office to give them a right-of-way. So one company had over 100 generators sitting out there. So you can kind of do the math, and it was a big deal. But just by getting in and cleaning it up and treating it like a business, we're able to get the right-of-way turned around to 45 days. It's 44.8, I think, today. And we've increased what the big deal is, and the value it doesn't show, but we've gone from that $7 million to $9 million. And so it's just been a huge turnaround, and it was just money left on the ground that wasn't available for education. So it's just how you look and treat business. I'm going to try next slide. This is one of the neat things that I've been on. Those of you that follow the campaign, this is the Dixon Apple Orchard. Las Conchas Fire destroyed the orchard. And when you're going between Albuquerque and Santa Fe, I didn't even know when I was running, I had to add, but when you go between Santa Fe, there's a Cochiti Lake and there's a golf course. Right behind that is where that Dixon Apple Orchard was. And there's 9,000 acres with it, and there's a kind of a river that runs through there, but it's completely destroyed. The apple orchard's been destroyed. Where the trees were planted, the soil's washed down the height of this room. They've lost that much soil where the trees were. So there's no way to restore it. And the previous land commissioner, the Cochitis have the land in front of it, and there's forest behind it. and it's covered with Indian sites because the Cochetees were originally with the Bandelier group, the Bandelier National Monument, and when they moved down closer to the river, they moved to this site, and then they moved down to where they are now. And then when the Spaniards came, they had a big fight, they moved back up to this site. So it was really important to them culturally, so they really wanted it. And the reason why they didn't have it, it ended up a land grant when we became a state. So the land office ended up with this piece of land, the Cochetee Orchard, or the Dixon Apple Orchard, in a land trade in 2006, I believe it was, with UNM, because UNM was willed this land. So the Cochetees wanted it. The previous land commissioner had signed a contract with them that they'd try and work on a trade. So I went and met with the Cochetees, and I don't know how many of you have dealt with the Pueblos, but you do a lot of praying with them, the language you don't understand. And so we met two or three times and went through it. And so I was looking across the street, and, oh, there's the pump jack, yeah. So that's the pump jack. That's right in front of the land office. And that's the old Pecos Trail right there, and the river's right here next, just down a little ways. Well, right across the street's the Garrett Desert Inn. It's 2.5 acres. It's across from Loretta, has river frontage. And, you know, I thought it needs to be torn down or repurposed. And so I talked to the Cochetees. I said, well, why don't you buy that, and I'll trade you the land. And the apple orchard land rents for $40,000 a year. It appraised for $4.5 million. Well, the Cochetees are paying $9 million for the motel, straight across trade. And I've already got one person interested at leasing it at $250,000. So we're going to be able to take a $40,000 income and turn it into $250,000. So that's kind of one of the neat things we're working on. It should close in the next 2 months. Next slide. This is, you know, Rocky's fired up. She doesn't have to deal with them as much as I do directly. So the energy bill that Heinrich put in, I was reading it once it came out, and sure enough, there's a wilderness designation in it. And this is the Rio Grande del Norte. We all hear about the Oregon Mountain one. Well, this is the one right next to Taurus, where the gorge is right on this side of it, or Taos, I'm saying. And so what happened, these blue pieces, those white pieces in there are state trust lands. Already in the monument. We have over 40,000 acres in the monument. But worse than that, these two pieces on this one right here and that one over there where there's trust land, they're in the energy bill, they're making these two areas wilderness. And so we came out against this because when they make it wilderness, then we'll no longer be able to lease it to generate income. And then it turns out, I went and looked at it, there's a river that runs through those two on that end, and 285 between Española and, what's the town? Not Chama, Antonito. Is where those two tracks are. So it's a gorgeous piece of land that the feds are taking away from the state. Next slide. So then the next few slides just happened in 1 and 2 days. So I'm going down, and then this is the Sabinosa Wilderness. The Wilderness Society has bought two ranches. They have two state leases in it, and we already have state land within the this wilderness area the BLM has. And so the wilderness area is actually going to donate them land and tie up our two leases. So they're going to take additional state trust lands we won't be able to generate income from. Next slide. So on the same email I got when I was going down the road, then the Fish and Wildlife come out with his Zuni bluehead sucker saying they're going to take 35 miles of stream. And this doesn't show it, but these are state trust pieces here. And so... And they said they're going to limit grazing, mining, timber, and all the things that we lease our land for on those lands. So the Fish and Wildlife is taking that away. And next slide. And then I don't know how many of you saw that now Udall and Heinrich have come out designating almost half the Oregon Mountain Desert Peaks National Monument as wilderness area, which will even further limit the uses on this. And eventually we'll get rid of grazing. And the colors didn't come out right on this projector, but all these white areas in here, for the most part, are state trust lands that are going to become wilderness. And we've been talking to the BLM. We're trying to get traded out. They've said they want to do the one up at Taos, but it's getting them to do anything. So, I mean, it's like pushing a rope. Next slide. So then in all that, then the BLM has come out with a whole bunch of rules on oil and gas development. And the reason why this affects us so much, next slide, is they're actually going to be able to site where the oil wells go and control where the oil wells go on state trust lands. And the reason they do that, because you saw the checkerboard at the beginning, well, most of these oil well fields, they put four or five tracks together, and so we'll have a BLM track and a state track, and they call it a unit. And so if we're tied to a BLM piece, and the oil it produces goes gets split up between however the landowners are, so they're in fact going to be able to control all the drilling on state trust on 80% of the state trust lands with these new rules. So it's really going to affect us. And then the venting and flaring rule, and it's, I mean, I've been pounded on that one, but in, you know, the BLM's taking over even further reaching than the EPA, trying to set rules up on what's going to happen on venting and flaring, and it's probably going to shut down, I would say, 20 to 30% of gas production in New Mexico if they get them put in. And then the last one down there is Planning 2.0. I don't know, so I'm sure it's been talked about in some of the groups around here, but Planning 2.0 is a BLM deal where they're changing the way they manage planning on the BLM land. And so, say, Teddy Eldridge has a lease down here by where Grandy, and it's got BLM in state, and it goes down into Texas. And the BLM looks at that as a landscape now, or like over in the Boot Heel, they look at it as a landscape, and they are now, if any of the planning they do on that landscape crosses state lands, the decisions made on it now go from New Mexico to Washington, D.C. So they'll be able to take all their decisions that they make on public lands in New Mexico and make the decisions in D.C., which will further, and then none of us will be able to be cooperating people in the decision process. We won't. So any decisions, or if you want to protest it, you're going to have to go to D.C. to do it. So we spoke out against all these things from the land office standpoint. Next slide. I'll tell you what. Could you go back to the one that has a state map on it? It's like this third one. Keep going back. 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 The one that had the whole state. So, no, you had it. Okay, one of the things that happened, we had a meeting 2 weeks ago down in Lordsburg, and I went down, took a horse down, and we toured this area right here on the Boot Heel. And there's what's called Monument 40 right here, and then Antelope Wells is another area down here. So I went down here with a guy named Ace Peterson, who has the Hatchet Ranch right in this area. And the reason I went down is the Border Patrol came to us and asked for 27 miles of roads on our lands to access the border. And all those roads are about from 4 to 20 miles from the border. Well, I get down with Ace, and we go down here, and it turns out there is no road from that Monument 40 down to Antelope Wells. There's a pretty good road along here, and on the Mexican side of the border, there's a real good road because there's a whole bunch of farms in this area. And the problem is that the Border Patrol is letting people get through and try and catch them after they get through. And the people in our public meeting, everybody wants the Border Patrol to put a road on the border. They have what's called the Roosevelt easement, which is 60 feet already they took from everyone. And we're asking them to go ahead and clear that road. But this 27 miles they want to put on state trust lands, they want for free. If we charge them what we normally charge, it's $400,000. So, you know, it's the federal overreach is happening in everything we're doing at the land office, it seems like. Could you go back to that slide we were on before with the open pit mine? So, no, back one. So, I'm for all types of energy. The land office gets about $600,000 to $700,000 a year from oil and gas, or not from oil and gas, from wind and solar. And so, it's a small portion. So, I think we need to have a balance of what we do from an energy standpoint. We can't just get off oil and gas, nor can we go all renewable. Or, you know, and they've killed coal completely. I think coal will be gone completely in our lifetime. And I think, personally, I think that if the political climate continues the way it is, we're going to lose oil and gas within my lifetime. So they talk about all the impacts of oil and gas or any of the things we do, and it's really hypocritical for me because I live in Santa Fe four nights a week, and, you know, I didn't really go to the grocery store until I moved up there because Robin did all the shopping. So I go to the grocery store, and the first time I go, you know, I get to the front there, and she says, "Well, you want a bag?" I said, "Yeah, I want a bag." "Well, it costs you 10 cents, and it's paper." I said, "Oh, okay." So Santa Fe's banned plastic bags. So if you go in, you got to buy a bag. They can't even give you one unless you have an EBT card. If you have an EBT card, they'll give you a bag. But so, not that this is a sore subject for me. So anyway, if you go around the plaza and all the parks in Santa Fe, you can get free bags, and they're in a dispenser, on post, everywhere you walk. You know what it's for? Picking up dog poop. It's unreal. People can't have it, but dogs can. So, anyway, talking about energy and everything, and from my standpoint, this is a pretty big environmental impact. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, but it's, you know, it's an impact. So next slide, please. And click it once. So this is a 3-megawatt wind turbine. Click it again. It takes 9.9 tons of copper for that one wind turbine. Next slide. To do that, you need to mine 1,900 tons of rock just for the copper. So you talk about the impact it has on the environment. Next slide. And that's total mine components that go into that is 1,700 tons. Next slide. 3.7 million pounds of mine components. Next slide. And that's all the different type components that go into that wind generator. Next slide. Now, this is my favorite slide because I drive a pickup truck and I pull horse trailers all the time. And if I'm going up a hill pretty good, I end up passing one of these. But this vehicle takes 6 times more mined materials than a comparable gas car. And my wife drives a Ford Escape. So it gets about 30, when she drives it, it gets about 35 miles a gallon. When I drive it, it gets about 25. But so that's what it does. I mean, the price on it is half what one of these vehicles is. Click it. It's a Prius. And everybody wants to be so environmentally friendly with this car that gets just a little over between 40 and 30 miles per gallon. It's just amazing. Next slide. And so, and all we're doing, the red line is United States, and these are how much we've decreased our carbon emissions from 2005 to 2012. This line here is everybody else added together. So we've decreased our emissions on CO2 already more than anybody else has than the rest of the world added up. So, you know, I think we're doing, it's just crazy what's going on and environmental things that are hitting the land office. I think that's it. Let's see if we got another one. And that's what my job is to generate income. We conserve assets for future generations. And we run the land office like a business. And that's the way we do it. Next slide. So thank you. And I appreciate it. Yes, sir.
If I can have the lead question. Okay, so let's just say the other party is the one that generally the environmentalists are with. Okay? Now, the money you're generating with the land office all goes to education, primarily.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is that a fair statement?
That's fair.
Okay. And the Democrats use education to educate our children and socialize them and everything else. Their words, whatever, I agree. Wouldn't it make sense that they would want as much money as possible? Seems to be they're self-defeating each other.
It's a control issue, in my opinion. I mean, they want to control us. They want to control us. It's not a money issue or anything else. It's a control issue. I mean, they want us off the land. Yes, sir. What's happened is as the Obama administration ends, there's just a deluge of regulations that they're trying to get done in wilderness areas, and I mean it's nuts what they're trying to do, and they're just pouring it on, and the next 6 months are going to be horrific in my opinion. I got one back there.
Sure, please.
I thought someone back here. Any other questions? Go ahead.
Okay, so you just said your point, and I've seen this in other areas as well. The Obama administration is dumping tons worth of regulation on us. Now, in the hypothetical where Donald Trump wins, can't that be rolled back?
I don't want to talk about Donald Trump.
I just use that.
Hypothetically, anything can be rolled back in Congress.
If a person with a brain cell, single brain cell, comes into office, couldn't those executive orders be rolled back?
Sure.
On the other hand, if somebody with less than no brain cells goes into office, it would just be freeze. It would maintain.
Let's talk about Hillary and Donald offline.
I didn't bring that. I'm just saying.
I have an opinion, but
Well, I know that, but my point is that yes, he's dumping this on us, and it can be dealt with, but it has to be dealt with. Is my point.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
I agree, but we got to keep Congress in to do it.
Well, that they're everything's
without
a
all
piece
of it. We
I agree.
Get it.
And when you have two of the most liberal senators in the
in
country.
The world.
My buddies.
Mr. Terrell.
Anybody asked Heinrich Martinez why they're trying to bankrupt the state they represent in Washington? Anybody asked them?
Oh, Udall and Heinrich? Heinrich?
Who did I say?
Martinez.
Martinez.
Your old timers.
I met with them in March, first weeks of March, I met with everybody up there. And actually, one of the rules that we had up there on Onshore Order 4, I believe, they actually came out against the way it was currently written, asking that it only include from new wells going forward, which was good. And they actually cited the land office request. So they did listen to us while we were there, but they're getting some pressure, and they're all, I mean, Udall is, to me, is not as dangerous as Heinrich. Heinrich is super dangerous.
Amen.
He is after us, especially private property rights, in my opinion.
Couple questions. First one, when you were doing the numbers, and I believe they were the numbers for this year, was that projected numbers?
Actually, our year end ends this month.
Okay.
And we went ahead and put in what?
Pretty much actual.
Yeah, it'll be actual for this year. And next year, we're projecting about $500 million. If it stays at 40, or I mean at 50. If it goes to 40, we're only going to make it a little over $400 million.
Okay, that was the other question on it. How much of the numbers? And good thing for that, number one oil guy, Bill Pickens, he's afraid it's going to be up by year end or early next year, it'll be back up to like 70. Just watching the trends of use, unless some major world event happens to destroy the world economy, it should be back up again. That's pulled back enough. Other thing was, as you were saying with these, say that checkerboard, BLM land and state land, that if it's a joint area, how does BLM, if you say Washington, whether it's BLM or Forest Service, how can they just impose their rule over state-owned land?
I mean, they're doing it every day. You look at the wolf issue, we're looking at suing on that from this land office standpoint. The thing on the minerals, because the minerals are commingled under the ground, the BLM saying in their rule, they're saying they have authority to decide on us. And that's what we're fighting about.
That goes to me. It goes back to Congress for so much that Congress will pass a law that's very general and then leave it to the bureaucrats to come up with all the regulations, and they've got a free hand to do what they're doing, where Congress just spells it out in the law. This is how it's going to be. See that it's done that way. That would eliminate almost all of this.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
How long does it take for a wind generator the example that you gave of all the material it takes to put one of those together, how long does it take before it amortizes and actually starts to produce it within the time?
Well, I mean, it starts producing income once it starts spinning and they've got some place to put it, but I think it's about 25 years for them to get their money back. But it's got tax credits with it. That's how they're doing it. It doesn't work otherwise. 35 years.
35 years for life expectancy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir?
When I travel through Artesia and Hobbs area, lots of times I see wells that are not. Does that to keep the price of the oil up high?
There's rules that OCD, which is Office of Conservation Division, Oil Conservation Division, they're the ones that set the rules on that. And if they're shut down for a certain period of time, then they have to abandon and plug them. So, but if they can pump them once or twice and get a minimum amount of oil, then they can. That way, they'll wait till prices go up. That's what a lot of them are doing on the marginal wells. Yes, sir.
The low cost of gasoline is not the problem. It's the depletion. Extraction fee they charge at the wellhead per barrel. If it's cheaper to ship it in from Saudi Arabia, it comes in from Saudi Arabia. My proposal to a couple of legislators have been we put that on a sliding scale instead of what is it like $5 a barrel right now. And if it's costing us $3 a barrel to bring it in from Saudi, we ought to float that price so we get a little of something instead of none of the lot.
Yeah,
that's why they're not floating.
Well, it's because price is down.
Yeah.
But right now, the projections are the Permian Basin, which is southeast New Mexico and Texas, has a 40-year supply of oil in it at our current, for the whole country. There's so many zones and there's so much oil there. The problem is the break-even is about $50 right now. The prices have come down. And so it was down as low as 13 rigs in March, so the number are going up a little. So.
But they quit pumping if nobody will buy their oil, and their oil's too expensive when you have the tax on to it, the state.
Yeah, but it's a severance tax fund.
Severance tax.
Yeah, and that's been pledged to all your roads and highways, and you're going to have that. So.
But we're losing money in that, too.
We're losing money.
We need a business.
Yeah, yeah. Well, one of the crazy things that in this last session, we got to look in. Sales tax down in New Mexico is down $100 million. If you look at the budget's about $6 billion for the state. You take out what's happened to the oil and gas industry, and we're going to be $600 million in the hole. We've only got about a $400 million reserve, and we're already through most of that. They swept all the money out of all the different accounts. They haven't frozen my salaries, but they froze all the hiring for the last 3 months. And so no one's telling you, but the state is in dire, desperate needs right now. And you'll hear about it, I think, in the next 90 days.
We don't get a dime of gross receipts tax on gasoline. It's 53 cents per gallon, and 38 cents of that is federal, and the rest is state.
Right, so but the sales tax...
Gasoline doesn't affect gross...
No, but the sales tax is because people lost their jobs.
Yep.
That's where all the sales tax came from.
But it hadn't been doing the oil.
Yeah, it does, because they lost their oil jobs.
Over there.
Yeah, if you lose 200 jobs off at 50 rigs, that's 10,000 jobs.
It doesn't affect our gas price at the pump.
No, but it affects what you're going to pay. It affects the services you're going to get, because the state won't be able to hire people or do things. One last thing, I got a neat bill I'm working on that I'll tell everybody here. You've heard about early childhood, and the Democrats are really pushing it, which is another form of welfare, in my opinion. But a lot of people are in favor of it, and so they've been trying to raid the permanent fund for raising the percentage to fund early childhood. And when you looked at that map that had all the state lands on it, and even if you just look at the private land here in Otero County, the BLM owns most of the minerals under that private land, and most of it's not leased. So we're going to propose a constitutional amendment where the BLM, where early childhood is set up for a new beneficiary for the state, and that the BLM give us all the minerals that aren't leased under private land to the land office to manage to create income for early childhood. And so if you're a hunter, it doesn't affect your hunting ability, because we're not talking about surface. All we're talking about is underground. And I think it would be a neat way to show that New Mexico needs its lands back, and it would be one way to get some of our lands back, even though it's the stuff underneath the ground where you make money. So that's the bill we're working on right now. So any other questions? Yvette?
Yeah, Representative Diane Black introduced that federal Freedom of Federal Lands Act. I know it was introduced in the House and the Senate, and what it does is it gives the authority to issue gas and oil permits on the state level following federal guidelines, but it can be done in like 30 or 40 days versus over a year. So do you guys watch those kind of bills? I'm not thinking it's moving very quickly, obviously.
Yeah, see, the well siting on state lands actually comes from OCD, and it happens within a week.
So the federal ones are the ones that are taking forever.
Right.
And then as you're going through the next number of months and getting ready and some of the things you outlined, I mean, as a community or a county or your kind of constituents, I mean, what can we be doing to help you? I mean, what do you need from us as a group, as a county, besides?
Well, you know, it'd be nice, and maybe we'll start sending out press releases to Rock here or whoever. But, like, I've gotten 2,100 petition or signatures yesterday, and I had a protest in front of the office on my venting and flaring issue. And so it'd be nice if people that are pro good management would, you know, let us know sometimes. So
how can we do that?
Send me an email. Send me an email or call or whatever. Saying
crayon, but I can write.
We like what you're doing.
What can we do as private citizens to circumvent this tidal wave?
I think you need to be calling Heinrich and Udall daily, just about, saying we don't appreciate what you're doing, and watch what's going on. I mean, I think that we haven't seen it all yet. You know, I think last Friday before is when they came out on the Oregon Mountain wilderness areas. And we could get that killed, because it has to go through, to become a wilderness, it has to go through Congress and the Senate. The president can't do that. Yes, sir?
We have the whole thing built, and then the little tax.
Yeah.
Well, BLM or these other organizations in the government are taking over lands that are rewarding donors to the state. Why can't we seek built money from them? Enough to kill their whole appropriation. You know, $1 billion, I mean.
Yeah, well, the problem is that the PELP formula is not going to be enough to... I mean, if we had if Otero County had more private land, we would have a better economic base, in my opinion. I mean, you'd have drilling down on Otero Mesa right now. I mean, the oil's there. Harvey Yates has found it up in the Tularosa Basin. I mean, up in the Tule area. I mean, there's a potential for jobs here. We need to make sure that Holland, you know, they've taken that whole White Sands area. We need to make sure that they keep it active, and that we get jobs from what's happening at White Sands, and it just doesn't sit there unused. So. Yes, ma'am.
Do you find a conflict of interest then in your outlining directives to aim at the proper education and be preserved in it? Is that kind of conflict?
It conflicts all the time. It's a line you have to walk. You know who Brian Egoff is, Jr.? How would you describe him? Against oil and gas?
Yeah, crazy.
There's a representative, Brian Egoff. He's an attorney in Santa Fe who got a temporary restraining order against me yesterday because I turned down a water application to take fresh water out of the Ogallala and use it for fracking. Because I thought there's plenty of brackish water you can use on fracking.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to say that again because I didn't even understand it.
Okay.
That didn't even make sense in any of my
mind. Therein lies the problem.
So there's this ultra liberal.
Right. Who would be opposed to fracking?
Who is opposed? He's come out opposed to fracking.
Okay.
Against everything.
And you said no to taking water out of a river.
Fresh water out of the Ogallala, which is the water table under southeast New Mexico.
Which you would think would fit in his agenda.
Correct.
That's what I'm having a hard time with.
And he filed a temporary restraining order against me because I asked to pull the application. Because the wells were going to be on state land and the water rights would be state water rights. But because it's fresh water and a little deeper you can get brackish water, I thought they should go deeper and get the brackish water and leave the good water alone. I mean, that goes back to what you're saying.
You make sense. I'm lost.
Somebody's going to have to explain to me after me what the hell.
I'm sorry. No, what you're saying makes absolute sense about drill a little deeper, use the crappy water to do what you got to do. That makes complete sense.
Right. It'll be in the paper tomorrow in the Albuquerque Journal.
I don't get what his problem is. I don't think
it's because, well, it's because it goes back to what the real issue is. It's not they're against certain things, it's control.
That's what we're up against.
In other words, he'll violate his own ethics as long as it gets him a little piece of control.
Right? That's correct.
Exactly right.
Correct. And he gets to slam me.
Somebody break out some parents' new letter.
So, yes, sir.
Say on the issue that the funds that you generate from our lands, that supports the schools and that the federal government is impacting it adversely, would it be good for people, especially people with children in school, to collect that campaign going, hey, this is money going to our kids. You're denying our kids their education. And get it grassroots that way.
Yeah, I agree. But I mean, I appreciate everybody for coming tonight, but it's so hard to explain what I do. I mean, how many people knew what I did to the extent I talked about tonight?
I didn't know what you did at all.
No one.
I'm not kidding. I'm sorry.
I'm down ballot. No one knows what the land office does. So
right.
It's hard to communicate that, and that's why I'm here, is to try and talk about it. Yeah.
If
we bring the bill, he gets the bill ready, and we bring it in 2017, then we need to really converge and push on getting that thing. That's when it'll make
a difference. Get all the school people involved with their kids. Don't get excited over that.
I'm there, and I have a platform to help you.
Good. So, like I said, thank you all for letting me come tonight and be a part of it. You can't get the governor to come down and look at a mouse deal. You're not going to get the governor down here to look at a mouse deal. You're going to have a hard time passing anything else.
She was in
today. Oh, I know. Yesterday she was.
So you don't need the governor to pass a constitutional amendment.
Yeah, well, that's why we're going to ask and pass the constitutional amendment to transfer those minerals to the state for early childhood, because then it doesn't have her. It bypasses the governor.
Yeah, that's fine. But do the other two to make so
pro.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to do what I can get done.
It was not easy.
So, but thank you, and I'll stay around. And, you know, this is my hometown. I was born at Gerald Champion Hospital in the old location by Dr. Sims about 60 years ago. So, plus.
Round numbers. Wait a minute, you said you were a banker. You ought to be better with numbers than that.
So, but this is, you know, I feel like I'm back home with family, and I appreciate you letting me be here. So, thank you.
Thank you. You mean to tell me the governor won't come if I invite her?
I thought you guys were BFFs.
Well, I'm proud to say that I was involved in Aubrey Dunn's recount here. I recounted those votes to make sure he won. No, I don't mean it.
I'm sorry.
I don't mean it that way. Okay, no, that's not on tape.
Did you get
it?
That?
No, that's not that way.
It's already erased.
No, I was
already
there.
Erased.
I watched the recount,
wow.
Not to make sure it happened.
Rocky.
Get that off tape. Take that off.
Rocky.
Not
you
to make sure it went.
I'm gonna put a beef. Pretend you said something.
You did. I sound like a Democrat there, though. So, our new district attorney, John Sugg, just walked in. John,
Whoa.
Did you want to? Would you like to say a few words?
Thank you.
Oh, all right. You're an attorney. I know you can say more than that.
I'm kind of loud anyways. But
okay, I'll actually let you come up here and talk for a minute.
It'll be quick. So I got to tell you, when I originally got involved with the race, a lot of people just told me I was wasting my time. There was no way I was going to unseat somebody who had been appointed by the governor, have the governor's backing. It's just an incumbent in a primary doesn't get taken out. It just doesn't happen. And to win by 30 points, it was a huge victory. And I appreciate all the support from everybody here. And I'm not going to disappoint you guys. So thank you all for your support.
Yeah. Job.
Rocky told me the night of election, she called me and she said, "Now I don't want to hear from you in 18 months cursing me."
That's exactly right. I can remember, and I've told this story before, when Gene and I were first married, and he kept saying, I want to be a state policeman. I want to be a state policeman, and applications kept coming to the house. And this was in the old days when you had to do it by mail. And I kept throwing the application away and throwing the application away. And finally, he wised up and knew I was throwing the applications away. And so he went down to the state police office and filled it out there and mailed it from there. And then one day he came home and said, "Oh gosh, I have an appointment to go to Santa Fe to take my exam." And I thought, "Damn it, he did it behind my back." And so he, you know, went off and did his thing, and about halfway through his 13 weeks of there, he came home one weekend and he said, "Why did you let me do this?" Okay, there you have it. So, you know, so after 33 years in law enforcement, it was enough. So, but anyway, so I don't want to hear it after 33 years. And no. So next month, our speaker will be our newly elected city police chief, Darren Seiling. He will do a program on active shooter. Darren is certified in doing a program on it, and he's done it throughout the community here and actually throughout the state in the active shooter. And literally, he goes into businesses and government entities and teaches them what to do if an active shooter actually comes into the building and what to do. So he's kind of going to go through that with us, and that way, you know, if you're in Walmart or in a restaurant or if we're in here and someone should come in. So kind of give you some brief ideas and know what to do and how to handle yourself and how to handle other people as well. So it should be kind of interesting, and in light of everything that's happening, you shouldn't kind of brush up on the situation and know what we're getting into. So is there anything that anybody would like to bring up, or any comments, any questions, any no kidding, let's let Connie go first.
Let her go last.
Connie. Yeah. Mary Lee Soles, isn't it?
It's, yep. Yeah, it's Senator Soles' sister. I do know that during the primary in the library over in Las Cruces, she has a big motorhome with her face all over it. She sat right outside the door until somebody went inside and complained, and they made her leave.
Who would have done that?
My sister.
Your twin?
She called me and said, "Hey, isn't there a rule?" And I said, "Yeah, there is a big one." And so she went inside and said, "Hey, there's a candidate out there. Isn't there a rule?" And they said, "Is there one out there?" And sure enough, when she came out, they were driving away. So
a rule? I would say a law.
A law. So,
we don't need no stinking laws.
Her sister, I understand, is very business savvy and very smart, but the one running against Steve, not as much. I mean, I don't mean that to be mean. I'm just saying there's two of them, and the son.
Didn't she used to? She ran before. Didn't she run for PRC the last time?
That sounds right.
She ran for PRC, I think.
I don't remember.
She did, she ran for something several years back, and then I think she retired from White Sands or something. I remember. She's a nice lady, but that's about all I know about her. But I don't know too much about her. But I'm not going to say I don't think Steve's not worried. You know, you can't certainly take anything for granted, but we'll push him and we'll do whatever. If we hear anything, we'll surely put it out. And when and if he comes, he was here in May, and when and if he comes, and we're going to invite him to come again. And when and if he does, we'll certainly put it out. John?
He has a fundraiser tomorrow in Rio.
Oh, okay.
Anybody interested at the K-Box from 11:30 to 1?
Oh, great. Okay, thanks. Cool. Excellent. 11:30 to 1. K-Box. In fact, I'll put that out on Facebook. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, Paul, your turn. Make it quick.
For those of you that may not know him, this is Jason Kirkman, the gentleman right behind me. He is the proprietor, I guess we could call him, of a website called The Big Basin, which is all about the Tularosa Basin, our culture, our history, and who we are. This site is, you're actually, your show Biscuits and Gravy is syndicated on 19?
No, the Jason Kirkman show.
Jason Kirkman show is on 19 stations.
22 and, now, we picked up 2 bucks.
Excuse me, 22. Anyway, and that's nationwide, okay? It's thebigbasin.com. It's not a radio station you can tune in on your truck. It is an internet radio station. So if you're at work, you can tune into it. He's got a lot of music, a lot of talk and stuff like that.
No music.
What he does also have is one guy you hardly ever hear of, and that is Matt Sergeant Chez. Okay, I now have a Saturday morning radio show that I do every Saturday morning, 9 a.m., and then you can listen to it whenever on the archives of that page. I encourage you guys to listen to it, because what I do is the first half hour, this is national level stuff. Obviously, I have a lot to say about Orlando, gun rights, things of that nature this Saturday. I'll probably be doing that show either tonight or tomorrow. And then the second half of the show, I focus down towards the basin. I'm going to be looking at things that Aubrey said to us tonight, the state level stuff, county level stuff. I also have an interview I did on election night with that gentleman right there that I didn't get to play last week. So John Sugg, whether he knows it or not, will be on the air this Saturday, as well as Robin Holmes, who is our candidate for county commissioner, take over for Denise.
Clerk.
County clerk. Yeah, not there. So I try to keep it interesting and fast-paced, and I'd like if you guys would tune in and listen, and if you like something I said, then shoot me a message. If you think I'm a knucklehead, then shoot me 2 messages, okay? And that's it. Thank you.
You going to give Rush for his money?
Rush is a wuss. What are you talking about? I'm actually syndicated now. I'm on 2 internet stations. Jason got drunk and got me on something else.
You're out of Dallas, Texas.
I'm out of Dallas now. So I'm poisoning minds across the country.
Okay, anybody else got anything they want to say? Okay, July 2nd, the parade. There will be a parade, 4th of July parade. So please get out and support it or be in it.
Are we in it?
I don't have any idea if we're going to be in it yet. But I don't know yet.
My truck's always available.
Okay, your truck is available.
Flags in, all that jazz.
Get out there and support it or walk it, be in it. Support the 4th of July. Be patriotic. Get out there. So anybody else got anything? All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. God bless, take care, and remember to do something nice for somebody. Thank you all very much.